All right. Well, for sake of, again, the schedule, let's go ahead and welcome Dave and Pam Painter up. You guys are in the hot seat. That was a thunderous round of applause. There we go. Just these two seats right here, are the those are the official hot seats. And Dave, I'll give you the mic. You guys can kind of pass it back and forth between the two of you. I was going to joke at the beginning when we kicked off the conference that we, between Andy, Dave, and myself, we had a collective so many years of marriage experience, but I feel like that would have been a little sensational. So we thought, you know, it'd be a good idea to just put into a little bit of action what we were attempting to promote in this last session. What are we promoting? That God has uniquely joined together the church with people, with couples, with experiences, with backgrounds, different seasons of life. And Dave and Pam have, how long have you guys been with Liberty Hills? And that's going back,
I think
18 years. 18 years. Okay, so that's pretty much from the beginning, right? Close to it?
Close to it.
Yeah. So Dave and Pam have been around Liberty Hills for a while. And in that time that I've been here, which I think is, I don't know, maybe 13 years, something like that, obviously Dave and Pam have been faithful in their marriage, and they have been just a pillar of, not perfection, but a pillar of God's grace working and sustaining, you know, your marriage year after year. And so we just thought we'd just highlight this couple, highlight this marriage with just some simple questions, just so that you guys can get to know them a bit better. Many of you know them extremely well, so you can, you know, roll your eyes at my
softball questions,
yeah,
right?
You knew it's coming. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I told you that's exactly what they were going to be. But I think this has recently come up in a sermon series as we've been going through the covenant of marriage. I think all three of us at one point have pointed out the quantity of years that you've been married. But the first question is, how many years have you been married? How long have you been married?
It'll be 52 June.
52 years in June. That's great. And I got a little bit of this story over at our table, and I know Russ and Kim and my wife did as well. But share with us just a little bit of where and how you guys met. That was a fun story as I heard it last night. So share it for the rest of the group as well.
Well, I'll start it off, and I'll let Pam finish it then. The church that I grew up in, there for a while we were meeting at Victory Free Baptist Church there, but before that building was there, my earliest memories were in the VFW building down in North Kansas City. That was the beginnings of Victory Church, and my folks were charter members, and so I remember just always being in church. And then from there, they bought a, some of you might remember, know where they're right in Avondale, up on the hill by the old Cooley School. There's a white church building up there, and that became Victory Free Baptist Church, and that is where we met. It's where we were married, and so from there, I grew up there and was an active part of the youth group. And then, so in 62, before I say that, her dad is a pastor, and most of you probably all know she's a PK. And so her dad would preach revivals on occasion for different churches. And so Victory Church invited him down. He was pastoring in Bettendorf, Iowa at the time, and to come down in, I forget the month, but in 1962, to preach a revival. And on the last night of that revival, that's when the Lord saved me, that night. and called me to himself and redeemed me forever. And so I'll let her tell it the rest of the point.
So that's when I was 10, he was 11. When I was 15, that church called my dad to be their pastor. So we moved from Iowa to Kansas City, and that first Sunday that they knew my dad already, because he'd preached actually two revivals there. He'd been in his home both times for a meal. And so that first Sunday that I walked in, David had made a little wager with his friend. He said, if she's ugly, you can have her. But if she's pretty, I have her. And so I guess I was pretty. I don't know. But his friend recently just, I was 15, he was 16 at that time. His friend recently just reminded us that David had told him, I'm going to marry that girl. And that's really when we just got to know each other. So I guess he knew. But anyway, my dad, that next weekend, he called and asked if I could go get a burger with him somewhere. And
she didn't eat her burger.
I couldn't eat. I was so nervous. But my dad knew him and his family, and he said, sure, you can. That'd be fine. They're a good family. And so.
And how old were you at that time?
15.
15.
Yeah.
I was 16.
So that was kind of, that's how we met.
One point that I thought was God's providence in bringing all of this together, it just kind of sealed it all for me as we talked about this over the years and think back about it, is that that night that God called me to himself, her dad was the one who was preaching and who prayed with me and showed me the scriptures. So even at that point, at 11 years old, I had no idea he was going to be my future father-in-law, but God was orchestrating everything in our lives at some point to bring us together.
Yeah, amen. You've kind of already answered this question, Dave. How long did it take each of you to know that he or she was the one?
Yeah, not long, not long. For me, it was, you know, back in those days, you know, when you're in high school, you have a, what?
No.
a class ring. And so, you know, us guys, we like to be pretty sure of something before we ask our gals about, you know, if they want to go steady or whatever. You think it's okay, this one's in the bag, you know. So I did ask her to go steady and to wear my class ring, and the first time she turned me down. And I thought, man, I made a huge mistake. So I wasn't sure about this relationship at all, but it all worked out.
Yeah. And Dave, how did you ask her to marry you?
Horribly. So
this is a safe place, no judgment.
Okay. Yeah, my name is Dave.
Yeah.
So a little bit of background in how I asked her to marry me. In my family growing up, nothing was special except Christmas. Birthdays, holidays, anniversaries, there was nothing really anything special. And so that's how I grew up. So when I knew I wanted to ask her to marry me, I had bought a ring, and there's another story about that, but we won't go into that. So you had been gone
on vacation for 2 weeks.
Yeah, with her folks. And so when she got back, I was going to ask her to marry me. And I remember having a conversation with my mom. And my folks were great people. And I say this respectfully, just country people with not a lot of expectations, you know? And so I said, where can I take her to propose? And I don't remember the whole conversation, but there wasn't a lot of good answers there. So, you know, it was kind of left up to...
That's your phone.
No, it's not. Mine's over there. Oh,
I thought that was your ringtone.
Nope.
All right, sorry.
So anyway, I knew she was coming back from vacation there, and I don't know about you guys, but I was just busting at the seams, you know, to get that proposal done and get it kind of a sealed deal, you know, get that yes answer. So I had the ring, and so when they got back,
and a dozen roses.
I did have a dozen roses. I'll let you finish it.
So he came in. He just knocked and came in.
At the parsonage.
At the parsonage where we lived. And he walked into the kitchen with the ring and the roses. And my mom was standing there. And he goes, "Will you marry me?"
Just get right to the point, huh?
With my mom standing like, you know, about like where Pastor Eric is. So anyway, it was great. I knew I had a feeling that that was going to happen when I got back. It wasn't a complete surprise, but anyway, that's how it happened. So that was between my junior and senior year of high school. In August, we got engaged. So then we got married 1 week after I graduated from high school. And our folks were all for it. We had so much fun planning the wedding and all that. It was everything I wanted it to be. So,
now, in my defense, have I come a little ways down the
road?
Oh,
yeah. He's come a long ways.
More planning and
making things special.
It only took 52 years.
Yeah.
And so how long did you date then before you got married?
2.5 years.
2.5 years. Okay. Pam, so this question's for you. What are some of the most prominent or special memories of your wedding day?
Oh, I guess just walking down the aisle. My dad married us, but he walked me down the aisle. My uncle, who's a pastor, kind of took over the service before up to that point.
Okay.
And so just walking down the aisle and seeing him and just thinking, at last, we can be together. And of course, you know, I've had this rosy view of marriage, that everything from now on is going to just be rainbows and butterflies and unicorns, you know. And really, I would say the first 4 years of our marriage really were so much fun. We just loved getting to know each other, and we had a blast. And when things turned difficult was when we had kids. We went through some hard times when our kids were all little.
Yeah.
You know, but the Lord brought us through that, and we were committed to each other, and nothing was ever spoken of divorce or anything like that. We had good examples from our own parents of faithful marriages. So, but yeah, just the thought of being together now forever, that was the neatest thing about it to me.
Yeah, that's neat. So, Dave, a question for you. What's been then one of the keys? I'm sure there's many that you can point to then of realizing that lasting relationship, that lasting marriage that we just talked about in the previous session. What are some things that you could point to specifically that maybe rise to the top for you?
You know, I think from the very beginning, and Pam already touched on it there, our commitment to each other, and in all honesty, divorce was never an option. I mean, I considered murder a few times, but, you know, and I'm sure she did too. Yeah, but, you know, it was just one of those things that growing up in the church and seeing that relationship between her folks and my folks, you know, that they went through the hard times, they worked it out, they trusted the Lord, and God brought them through. You know, I always knew that would never be an option, but that would be something that God would bring us through. And you know, the commitment to the Lord is one of those things that will see you through all of those difficult times. And, you know, I would echo what she said, that, you know, back then I had a rosy view of marriage too. I thought, how could I ever get upset with this woman? How could she ever do anything wrong, you know? and realizing that, you know, several years later, that really it was just two sinners getting married, expecting to make something perfect, which never works out. And it's realizing that. And so, you know, that relationship with the Lord and seeing our examples and our parents and their marriage really kind of rose to the top and helped us. And knowing that there were many times that I would talk to her dad, you know, about things that we were going through or things that I was going through as a husband and some of my responsibilities and that type of thing. I had a much closer relationship with her dad than I did my dad, just simply because I knew my dad loved me, but it was just one of those things where he, in his era, he grew up on the farm, and men back in those days really didn't express their feelings, talk about where they were, what was going on inside, and unfortunately, I've inherited some of that in some of our private conversations. It kind of all got back to the point of, hey, you never said that. I didn't know that. You know, and so it's just one of those things that we're, even after almost 52 years, we're discovering that I need to open up more, whatever. But that was a little rabbit trail. But looking back at those examples that we had really kind of rose to the top.
Yeah. Well, amen. Well, I appreciate you guys willing to share a little bit of your lives in a public nature here. Thank you for your faithfulness, your availability, your consistency. That is a testimony to really all of our families, all of our marriages at Liberty Hills and beyond. And so we just appreciate you guys so much. So thanks for doing that.
I will say when I got married there, I did marry up.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's no doubt about that, Dave. Yeah, thanks, Dave. All right, we're going to do one more. We'll have Lisa and Andy come on up. You're the next contestant. How's the seat feel? Is it okay?
Okay. It's a
little leans a little forward. Okay. Keep you on your toes. Well, these questions are going to be similar as far as just kind of getting some background, getting to know you guys a little bit. Obviously, Andy's an elder here at Liberty Hills, so we're very familiar with you all as a couple, but we can humor us with going through some of these questions that we may know, we may not, and that's kind of the fun part of this. So how long have you been married? Let's let Andy answer that one.
34 years. Ooh, this even, June.
Not even a hesitation. Good job, Andy. Yeah, that's a good round of applause there. Lisa, where and how did you meet?
We met at a Bible study at my house. He had graduated from Clemson, where he got saved, and came back to Northern Virginia. And before he left Clemson, he asked his, I don't know if it was his pastor or somebody, if he recommended a church in Northern Virginia, and he recommended our church. And so it happened that the Bible study was at my house. And so that's when we met.
Okay, so Andy did not know you were there at that time at all?
No, okay. No, that was...
So you were truly there for 86. The Bible study?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
That was my first time meeting anyone in the church there.
Okay.
It was a church Bible study.
Okay.
We just had one of the biggest... I lived with three other girls, and we had a huge townhouse.
Oh, cool.
And so that's... a lot of the meetings were at our house.
Fun. Yeah. Awesome. So talk to me about how that transitioned then to, you met at the Bible study. What did that look like to transition to, hey, I kind of like you, you kind of like me, let's date. What did that process look like for you guys?
Well, so we didn't date.
Okay.
But we, so actually... I mean, how it transitioned was, that was 86. We got engaged in 88 and married in 88. So, I mean, just over the course of 2 years of me just observing her life and how she lived her life and everything, I was just impressed across the board with her character and how I knew, you know, what she wanted to live for, living for the Lord and living on, being on mission for Christ. And I recognized that, and she was pretty as well. So, I mean, that's always a factor. Got to be impressed with that as well. So, I had been talking to one of our elders at the time about this about the situation, and what's interesting is his wife was like Lisa's best friend at the time, and Lisa used to meet with her like on a weekly basis. They would get together, and so they knew that we mutually liked each other, but we didn't necessarily know that we mutually liked each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I mean, it kind of sounds kind of strange that we didn't date, but we were together all the time.
Okay.
In this church, there was a pretty big singles group, and he lived in the guy's house, and I lived in the girl's house, and there was others. And so we were together a lot. There was a gal at my work that got saved, and so we started following up this couple, her husband, and he led her husband to the Lord. And so we were together a lot, even alone at times, just because we were just doing things. And so we had a lot of time to see, like Andy said, our lives. Mm. But I had no desire to date, because my life before becoming a Christian, I was done with that. So I didn't have any desire to just date guys. I wanted to just be single focused on Christ, and whenever it happened, it happened.
So then how, obviously the Lord led there, but at what point did you say, hey, not only Andy, you know, she's got great character, you know, good looking, you know, great individual, but hey, she might be somebody that I want to pursue.
So I prayed a lot about it. I remember, like, we used to live in a house that was just right next to George Mason University, and so they had a big field that I went back on a business trip like a few years ago, and now it's a big baseball complex. They built a baseball field there, but at the time it was just a big field, and any night that I'd be driving home, I'd normally park on that street, and I would just walk that field, and I was just praying and asking God, you know, is she the one that you have for me? Mm. And I came to a point of, you know, believing that she was, at that point, then that's when I was just thinking, I'm going to ask her to marry me.
That's awesome. I love that. So how then did you ask her to marry you?
So I was at a church meeting at another of the elders' houses earlier that night. She was having her weekly meeting with Dee, her best friend, who was another one of the elders' wives. And I came over to their house, well, Jonathan and Dee's house, afterwards, and they knew that I was going to propose that night. So they met up in their bedroom. It's where they were meeting, and her and Dee, and we're getting together. And so I came in, and Dee was like, oh, I think I got something to do downstairs. And so she left the room, and I came up, and then I went in the room, and I proposed.
Awesome. Were you expecting that, Lisa?
Not that night.
No.
I was kind of, I didn't know when.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So then transitioning to wedding day, what are some of your most prominent and special memories, moments of that wedding day that are special to you?
Oh, it was just the perfect day. We lived in Northern Virginia, but we got married in Kansas City. So Jonathan and Dee, they're from Kansas City, actually. So we flew them back here, and Jonathan married us. And so my family was all there, and some of his family came. And
cool.
We went back to Virginia for our honeymoon.
That's awesome. A couple more practical questions now that you're married, and how long has it been again?
34.
Just testing you, just making sure you still got that number. So 34 years you've been married. What would you say would be a key or some keys that you say, hey, the Lord has used this, or this aspect of marriage has been special to us to sustain that lasting marriage? What does that look like for you?
I mean, actually, when we were talking about the different topics in this book, it's interesting that he had this chapter on what's it called? The
family can't replace the
family church. Can't replace the church, because if it wasn't for the church in our lives, I don't think we'd be together. And so I'm just a huge advocate. I mean, there was a time, specifically in our marriage that where, it was a really rough time. And, because we were connected to a church with people in the church, Lisa was able to say, you need to talk to one or two of those pastors. You need to tell them what's going on, and you need to get some accountability in your life. And so, I mean, I knew that it was like, I need to do this or else it's over. So so I did. I went and talked to actually two of the pastors there, and then met with a guy who was our life group leader at the time. And that gentleman, faithfully, I met with him weekly for, I mean, months. He was just a real faithful brother, and I honestly don't know how anyone stays together if they don't have that connectedness to the support system of a church body. And so when my kids, you know, grew up and got married, I didn't care if they attended the church that we attended. I just wanted to, you know, explain to them, just get into a church, be in a church, and don't just be in some church where you just come in the back door, slip in the back row, and leave. I mean, it needs to be a church where it's a family, and you're kind of, to Eric's point, you are known, and you're getting to know others. Even in a church, I mean, we're not super huge, but I just, during his session there, I was just thinking, I need to make a more concerted effort to even know everyone, or else people could just be sitting, coming and going every week and still struggling, you know, and then all of a sudden someone files divorce papers and you're like, how'd that happen? Well, because you never got to know them and you never realized that, like, there was actually a struggle going on there. So
I think for me too, thinking of Andy as my brother in Christ, especially during the difficult times, helped. God always brought me back to Colossians 3. Every time we'd have a situation, that God would challenge me when it says, as chosen ones, put on a heart of compassion, humility, meekness, and, you know, goes through the list. And, you know, every time I'd read it, I'd think, that is not what I want to do. That is the opposite of any feelings I have at this moment. But God would work on me and convince me he's your brother in Christ, and you need to be committed to him to see him past this situation. because of that. And then the marriage is almost secondary. I mean, at that time, I didn't even know how it was going to work out. But God was faithful.
Amen.
And God used it.
Yeah. So, Indy, I heard you say kind of the role of the church definitely was there to sustain the marriage through those difficult times by way of accountability, support. Lisa, you shared kind of your personal perspective. I'm curious if you have a perspective on how the church, from your side, has supported you and your marriage through the years to sustain that faithfulness.
I would say you have to be pretty proactive. I mean, it's easy to just come and go and nobody knows anything. And honestly, there was days I didn't want anybody to know anything.
Sure.
I didn't want to share what was going on. But I did. I sought out one particular woman, and she just pretty much don't know what to tell you. And then then I sought out another older woman, and she was my lifeline at mm-hmm. that time. You know, I was able to tell her everything, be transparent, and no, she wasn't judgmental. She was just there to be with me during whatever was going on. So, and really, she just kept bringing me back to truth about my role in the marriage and what that looked like, and really just gave me truth. When I wasn't thinking about truth.
Yeah. So you had one kind of strikeout where you pursued somebody and was a dud, so to speak. And then what? So talk to me. I'm curious there. I'm sure that was extremely discouraging.
Yes. Well, it was, because she, well, if you get any answers, kind of let me know. It was her answer. Okay. And she was a pastor's wife. And it was like, I didn't really know what to do at that time. But fortunately, neither one of us thought about or wanted divorce. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I don't know if God just brought to mind this other woman. I can't remember at the time. We weren't super close. She was actually more in a homeschool group that I was in. And so that's kind of how I got to know her, because she was more of an older woman in that group. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, amen. Well, that's all the questions I got for you. Thank you both for sharing your story, the vulnerability. I know you've been very open over the years of sharing not only the good, but also sharing how God's been faithful even in those storms and those struggles. So to God be the glory for his faithfulness, and we're thankful for you guys for sure.
Thank you.